back since worship started. Okay. Renita's pretty. I mean, y'all are all pretty. All you guys, I'm glad you're here. Are you happy today? I mean, wait, there's Stephanie. She's back from surgery. Don't move, Stephanie. It's okay. She had neck surgery, back surgery. And I had to wear one of those things on my neck one time after I had neck surgery. And we used to have just steps here. And I was standing on the edge as I'm preaching, wearing this neck thing 3 days after surgery or whatever. And I almost face planted. And I scared you guys to death. Those of you that were here that day, it scared me a little bit. I was like, oh, this is not the good thing, huh? Hey, we've been talking about, that didn't go back to where I wanted it. There we go. Oh, did you see all the slides? We've been talking about the shame-free gospel, right? And we've been talking about it for a few weeks. We're going to continue to talk about it. So I want to tell you how massive the gospel really is. Paul said it this way, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. For everyone who believes, right? Jew or Gentile, man or woman, the elite or the downcast, it doesn't matter. The gospel is literally the power of God released in your life. It's like the sun times 10 billion. And it really is. And so I think we could look at this forever. And there's different hues, different colors, different manifestations that I think we could explore forever. Science cannot ever discover the beginning of this, because it began in eternity, in the Father's heart, in Jesus' heart, in Holy Spirit's heart. Before the foundation of the world, they had already made the plan to make you happy, to take care of you. And it's really true, that first song we sang, is like, yeah, it really is. Jesus is in love with you. Like, he thinks you're the best thing since melted butter. It's one amazing, you know? So we've been talking about the shame-free gospel, and we talked about this. Its foundation of the gospel is love. Period. I don't care what your history is, what you've been taught, how your interpretation of Scripture is. It doesn't matter, because the truth is, love is the very foundation of God. It is who He is. Jesus said, I am love. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. It's love is a foundation. And we talked about freedom, right? Freedom is the absolute essential ingredient for love to happen. And so He had to set man free. Then we talked about the judging. There's two kinds of judging. One is a critical, condemning judging. That's the kind we do on ourselves all the time. I put myself down. I judge myself as not enough. I judge myself as less than. I judge myself as gone too far, done too much. It's a kind of critical judging. And then the other kind of judging is actually a discernment. It's not judging in a negative, putting down way. It's discerning. It's discerning, this is light, or this is dark, or this is heavy, or this is light. It's this discernment with no evidence of judgment, criticism in it. It's just discerning. And God said, we should be more discerning than any other people on earth, because you have the Spirit of God living inside of you that makes you more sensitive than anyone else in the world. But not to judge critically. It's for discernment. And then we talked about this, it's true, that there's always a reason, right? We talked about that a couple weeks ago. There's always a reason. Whatever it is happening in your life, whatever you're struggling with, whatever's happening in our world, in our families, in the government, in our bodies, there's always a reason. And it's not because you're bad. We talked about that, and we'll continue to talk about it, because a lot of us were taught as the very foundation of our Christianity, it's we are depraved, we're bad. And I don't believe that. I don't believe the gospel preaches that. I believe the truth is we just are not able. We're not able. We need Jesus. Listen, there is no life in any other besides Jesus Christ. And so we've talked about that. And last week, y'all know, I did this. Connecting with God, right, is everything. And I had you guys repeat it over and over, and I want you to get it in your head. But it's really a big deal. Connecting with God is everything. You guys say it with me. Y'all are going to have to engage today because there's not enough of you here to keep me going. I need some help today, right? Listen, for you want the world to change? You connect with God. Everything you're complaining about is found. The answer is in you connecting with God. That's how powerful God is. And where do we get off that we're more powerful than Him? Our government is more powerful than Him. Our COVID or whatever. There's nothing above Him. There's nothing beyond Him. There's nothing greater than Him. Is there anything better that you could ever do in your whole life besides connecting with God? No. Okay? And we're going to say it, and we're going to keep going that because the gospel, the foundation, that whole thing is about connecting with Him. Now, you know, the truth is, it's very funny, connecting with God causes some of us a lot of stress. Did you know that? Even that can cause you stress. It's like, my gosh, I've just got one more thing to add to my list. Just one more thing. I'm already having to do this and have to do that and have to do this. And I've got this long list of pressures on me internally, my family, my job, my government. Gosh, they're even telling us if you love people, you better get the COVID test shot. That's just one more thing that you have to do. Listen, you know, how many of you guys, this is a stress test, not the physical kind where you get on a treadmill and test your body. This is just a stress test, generic. Read through these questions and see. These are symptoms of high stress levels. Isn't that interesting? Most of them are physical. Acne. And you guys thought it was all the mask. Listen, you know what the mask, it may cause some of the acne, but a lot of it is the stress from having to wear the thing. Aren't you stressed out about it? I went to a funeral yesterday, and it's like mask on, mask off, mask under, or I couldn't decide. And then I get there, and there was a mask laying on the table where you signed the book going in. You know, Tracy Dolan's dad died. Great funeral, great honor. They honored that man really well. But I was a little stressed, and there was a mask laying there. It was the only mask in the entire county, I think. This is in Cleburne County, and I'm like, there were no masks in there. So I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. One more item off. I can't mess up my mask. Or not having a mask or whatever. Here's some stress tests. Chronic pain. Decreased energy. Changes in your libido. And if you don't know what that is, look it up. I'm not talking about it. Ricardo, he's a teacher. He'll explain it to you after church. Send your children to Ricardo. Right? Amen. He'll... I started to make fun of him being Latin American, but I'm not going to do that. Depression can be a symbol that you're stressed out. Digestive issues. Lord help God love a duck, right? Digestive issues are a sign that your stress levels are high. Headaches, frequent sicknesses, insomnia, appetite changes, rapid heartbeat. Sweating. I didn't know sweating was a stress issue. It is. Like, okay, everybody who has more than five or more of these issues, don't raise your hand because I don't want to embarrass you. Because I'm telling you, there is a lot of stress in this room right now. It's an issue. And connecting with God, trying to connect with God, can even become another issue that causes more stress in your life. But I tell you what, the truth is, there's something else going on. And I want the shame-free gospel is about connecting with God. You know what we could call this? We could call it the stress-free gospel. Let me read you a story. I don't want to run out of time. This is St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, in Italy, right? So it's where the Pope is. It's Vatican City. Largest church structure in the world. They began building this. I'll just read you this little story. It began on April the 18th, 1506, and was completed 120 years later on November the 18th, 1626. At the age of 71, near the end of his career, Michelangelo received his greatest and final commission. He was appointed by the Pope to be the chief architect on the restoration project of St. Peter's. He obviously looked at this huge project as a very somber and important task, because he would be creating a space where people would go to meet, learn, and worship the God of the universe. He wanted the cathedral to be perfect in every detail. He immediately set out looking for assistants that would have the same mindset and approach and passion for this project as he did. Work had already begun. This is the interior. I couldn't get a close-up because there's 1,000 details. It's unbelievable. And this is just one room. This was Christmas Mass last year that they held there in this building constructed in the 1615 and 1600s. So work had already begun, been going on at the St. Peter's Church for 40 years when they hired Michelangelo. And so Michelangelo went to the construction site to observe the workers there, hoping that he would find some inspired individuals to be his apprentices and assistants. So the great, great sculptor and artist was there walking around, 71 years old. He viewed and interviewed several bricklayers on the site, but was discouraged at their motivations for their work. One bricklayer, when asked what he was doing, just replied he was laying bricks to make money to feed his family. That's okay, right? Another, recognizing the famous painter, wanted the notoriety, the pay increase, and the advanced career status that would go with being an assistant under Michelangelo. Understandable, the most famous artist, architect, sculptor in the world. Then as he continued around the project, he spotted an older gentleman who was also a bricklayer. He was mixing his mortar cement on the ground with the hoe. The man worked the cement back and forth very purposefully and steadily, and he never slowed down or even looked up from his task. After watching the man for some time, Michelangelo stepped up beside him and asked him, "Sir, what are you doing?" The man stopped the hoe in mid-stroke, and he looked up and he said, "Sir, I am building a cathedral." Michelangelo had found the right man. These guys were doing all the same job, but totally different. And guys, can you see the big picture? This man was able to see, even though it took 120 years, he didn't see it finished. But he was able to see that what he was a part of was bigger than just a day job, a labor job, or laying bricks. He was building a cathedral to worship the God of the universe. You say, can you see your life that way? Do you realize how important you are? Just like that bricklayer and 1,000 more like him, they were building a cathedral that's still standing today. Guys, you and I have been called by God to build the kingdom of God. Each one of us has a vital role to play. It's not just about going to work or raising your family. It's not about just that. What you do is a bigger deal. And you know, our mission, each one of us has been left here to mix cement and lay bricks. And every brick, it took tens of thousands of bricks to build that cathedral. You know, in our world today, I really do love this. There's some men from Grace Fellowship that we sent to India, Kingdom Building India, to build a church. One cinder block at a time. And today that church is full of people and it's affecting the entire region it's in. You see, but they built it. Peter and Jared and Paul Beatty, who leads Kingdom Building India. And you know what? I'll just share this. I'm not bragging at all. I give $10 a month to build churches in India. I'm building too. Not very much, right? I mean, come on. You guys should be giving $100 a month to build churches. I give $10 a month to buy a cinder block because every cinder block matters. And guys, can you believe that your brick is just as important as the Pope's brick or anybody else's brick? It takes us all to build the kingdom. But the truth is, I believe it's this way. I believe that trying to connect with God is what releases the kingdom of God on earth. By faith, I believe it, even if my brick is small, even if what I do is small. It all matters, and it's all building a part. But, and so this, I don't want you to, I don't want this to become stressful. It's not about the thing. You know, it's interesting. I really do love this. I love what we're doing. You know that Jesus was the most intensely focused man that's ever walked on the earth. Do you know that he impacted the world in a greater way than any human in history? He had a purpose and a destiny. But do you know he was also the most relaxed man that ever walked on the earth? Like, he was relaxed. He wasn't stressed out at all. I mean, I just can go to scripture after scripture in my mind. You know, when the crowds were going to throw him off a cliff and kill him, the Bible says he just turned around and walked through them. Man, I'd have been running like a rabid dog, right? He never ran anywhere. Do you know that? It's funny. I wrote this down because it's true. Jesus was comfortable in his own skin. Are you? The gospel says we're all right. We're all perfectly handcrafted by God. Are you comfortable with your body? With your skin? You know, are you comfortable with the way you think? Jesus was comfortable with who he was. For 30 years, he was comfortable. He was comfortable being a child to his parents. 11, 12 years old, he stays at the temple, and his children, parents go home without him. They have to come back and get him. And the Bible says right there, Jesus went home with his parents and obeyed them. Were they perfect? No, they were just like you and me. They weren't perfect people, but Jesus was totally relaxed being their son. They gave him none of the privileges, right? There was no money in their family. There was no prestige. There was no name. And he was comfortable with that. He was comfortable with his job for 30 years. He was 30 years old. He was a carpenter in a small village in the hills of Israel. Are you comfortable with your job? Jesus wasn't stressed about it. He went to work every day. He was comfortable with waiting until God said, okay, Jesus, now it's time to go public. Are you comfortable with not having notoriety, with not being famous, with not being on a platform? Jesus was. He was relaxed all the time. There was nothing that would get to him. You know what? He was comfortable with his upside-down political world that he lived in. He was okay with the corrupt Jewish religious structure of his day. He was okay. He was comfortable. He was relaxed. He didn't run around going, oh God, the world's going to end. The world's going to end because the government is going to kill us and take our children. No, you didn't see him doing it. You know what? Even when he did miracles, he was relaxed. Okay, I'm going to show you what it would look like. This is what, I'm going to pick somebody that I won't be embarrassed. This is what, I can't pick any of you really. This is what Stephanie would look like. Like if God had told Stephanie, like this is water right now, and God had said, Stephanie, and she's Jesus. Okay, Jesus, I want you to walk on that water across over there to that stool. Stephanie would be like this. Ah, made it. No, Jesus, you know what he did? He just walked. Storm, he didn't care. Why? Because he was living away. He had a power working inside of his life that wasn't being affected by the circumstances around him. Whether it was his family, his job, his government, his education system, there was nothing in his world. And guys, I want to tell you, we are learning about a gospel. And here's what I believe. Whenever we try to connect with God, when we believe that just trying to connect with God is everything, then we enter into a new way of living where we live from Him, of Him. That's what we talked about last week. You know what? Jesus' buoyancy wasn't from Him. His buoyancy came from His Father. Power of the Holy Spirit in Him was what made Him not sink. The water didn't matter. Guys, when you start living by the gospel, When you start living by believing that trying to connect with God is what's going to do everything in your life, then you enter into a zone where God takes over. And now something happens. I love I love this word. It's a stress-free gospel. Well, God, don't we have to worry about what? All you have to worry about is one thing. Alan, you can't be serious. I'm sort of getting tired of hearing you say this. Connecting with Jesus is everything. Trying. I believe, which means when I try, I believe all of a sudden it becomes God and me. And I'm the kid and God's the adult. You see, I want this image to burn in your head. I mean, last week I made fun of tattoos a little bit, but if you're going to get one, get this one. Camille gets a commission off of it because she drew it. But get this one. And then you can tell people, why do you have that? Because my God has me. What do you mean? Oh, he's got me. How do you know he has me? Because I believe. And the same way he had Jesus, he'll have you in every area of your life. I love this passage. Y'all remember, we talked about this passage last week. Luke 1:34. How will this be, Mary asked, because the angel had come and said, Mary, you're going to have God's baby. And she's like, I am a virgin. I can't have anybody's baby. And the angel said, Mary said, how will this be? Since I'm a virgin, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born in you will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And that was a miracle. She didn't have any children. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. Now, last week we talked about from and of God. With God. Look at what happens when you're with God. You see, when you look at that, I don't want you to get this mindset that we all have. Jennifer's with Art. Well, yeah, in our terminology, she is with Art. But she's not in Art. Their DNA is not meshed together. They're two separate people. She's with him. That's not what this means. This is a very interesting word. It's a preposition of source. A preposition which is used to express the source from which another element is derived or has come. When he says with God, when God was with Mary, God as a source of life came inside of Mary and there was something birthed in her, mixing her DNA and his DNA. It's the closest thing we have. We call it in our world synergy. Synergy is the combined power, profits, etc. that can be achieved by two working together rather than separately. What happens whenever you choose to try and connect with God and you grab his finger, you grab his hand, when you do that, your 30 trillion cells in your body become infused with the life of God. And you become one with him. And now it's his life inside of you, just like it was his life inside of the human Jesus. Why do you think Jesus always identified himself as a son of man? Because he knew what was going on. I am fully man and fully God, but I'm living as a man on earth. And the miracles I do come from him coming through me. So when you and God, when you choose to grab God's hand, literally, Him and you become a new creation that's never been before. And we have 30 trillion cells in our body. That means it can happen 30 trillion times. There's so much depth inside of humanity, and it's two. All of a sudden, it becomes more powerful. Here's what Jesus said it this way. Before long, in John 14:19, before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you'll see me because I live, you also will live. What was he talking about? In 3 days, he's about to get raised from the dead. On that day, you will realize. Now, what day was he talking about? Go read it in John 14. What day is he talking about? That day. 3 days. When I rise from the dead, guess what's going to happen? I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. So literally the same power that raised Jesus from the dead works inside of us every time we grab his finger. Every single time. And so why don't you chill out? Quit looking like Stephanie when she's trying to walk on water. You don't have to do that. If it's the power of God in you, you don't have to try. You know how we try to be lighter than we are? It doesn't really work. You know, if I tiptoe, I'm not putting near as much pressure on the ground. Yes, you are. Your 200 pounds is always there. Sorry. But you know what? Whenever you grab his finger, his life, he doesn't just pull you up from outside of you. He comes inside of you. And now the supernatural power that raised Jesus into the sky works inside of you too. And it happens every time. So you know what? You don't have to stress out. Jesus said this, my prayer is not for them alone, not just his disciples. You know who he was praying for? Every one of us and the other 2 billion Christians on earth today. He said, my prayer is not just for them. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Just as you are in me and I am in you. You know what happens? Our problem is we've been living separated from God for so long, living by all these rules and regulations and structures and paradigms and all this stuff, and we didn't realize all we needed was him to live in us, which happens by faith every time we try to connect with him. Now, how simple could that be? Now, Alan, you can't explain it, though. No, I can't, because it's supernatural. But I've seen it, I've experienced it, I've watched it. Every healing you've ever had, every comfort you've ever felt from God, that thing that happens inside of you and you know God's presence has touched you, that's it. And God has one desire. You know, Jesus he wasn't worried about the stuff. You see, you and I get so wrapped up in the stuff, we forgot it's all about the connection. Jesus never, ever got distracted by the stuff. Even they would tell him, Jesus, you're not the Messiah. Look, you're Jesus, you're blah, blah, blah. Jesus, you're blah, blah, blah. Society, culture, the church, even his own family tried to say, Jesus, look at your life. You're not the Messiah. Jesus wouldn't look at the stuff. He was only worried about one thing, and that was his connection with the God. And because of that, God's power was working inside of him. In John 2:14, here's, I just want to prove it to you real quick. John 2:14. In the temple courts, he found the people selling cattle and sheep, and he got all upset. And in verse 16, he said, get these out of here. Stop turning my Father's house into a market. Now, where was he at? He was in the temple. The temple where God lived, right? And he said, that's my Father's house. Stop turning it into a market. And his disciples remembered, zeal for your house will consume me. You see, you and I have fallen into this trap. We think this is the house. We even act different in here. We dress different in here because this is the house of God. But Jesus had a different idea. Then the Jews said, what sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this? Jesus answered, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. Now, we, of course, after Jesus rose from the dead, we understand this now. We wouldn't have then. And they all replied, it's taken 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it in 3 days? But the temple Jesus spoke about was his own body. Jesus understood something. His body was the house of God. His body. And then when you go on and you look at 1 Corinthians, he said, what in the world is Paul saying? Do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit? Oh, you know what happened that day, the day of Pentecost, 2,000 years ago? That day, Jesus rose from the dead, and so did we. Because he said, we're the temple too. And so the same life that lived in him is available to us every day. But Alan, isn't it important, all the stuff I have to do? you know, my to-do list, my kids really do need to eat. I really do need to go to work. I really do need to be nice to people. I really do. Whatever your do is, yes, but guess where that all comes from? It comes out of the strength of God working inside of you when you connect. What's your priority? Connecting. That's it? Yeah, it's even simpler than that. Trying to. Yeah, but I'm trying to connect, and I think I'm supposed to go fishing on Sunday. Yes, yes, that must be God, right? That Tim's the only one I know who catches trout during a funeral. But, hey, that's when they asked you to do it, that they got you, right? That's what he does. Listen, guys, I'm going to tell you, it's so simple. Now, here, I love this verse. So the truth is, you are the temple that God resides in, but he doesn't just reside in you, he permeates you. He becomes one with you. God becomes one with you. Holy Spirit becomes one with you every time you try to connect by faith. I believe, that's what I just say, I believe connecting with God is everything. Well, the believing is faith. And you know what? It takes a lot of faith. Your faith will grow as you keep doing it. Because Jesus comes, everything in the kingdom begins as a small seed. And you know what? A lot of us question ourselves, just like those Jewish people and everybody else was questioning Jesus. Well, Jesus, why did it take you 30 years to get here? I mean, his mother made him do that miracle before he was ready, right? Turn this water into wine, Jesus. And that's a lot of depth in that, but I'm just telling you don't get to judge yourself but by one thing, and it's not a judgment of good or bad or worthy or unworthy or better or worse. It's a judgment of discernment. Are you believing, living by believing, connecting with God is everything? You get to judge that. Now, you know how you'll be able to tell? As that seed grows, it'll produce power in your life. But you know what? One of the big tests for you and me is giving the seed time to grow. Giving the seed time to grow. Like I'm trying to grow up. I garden, not big garden, I just have a little garden, but I've always sort of dreamed of planting seeds in those little plastic cup things and growing my own transplants for the garden. I've never had the patience to do it. I'm 63 years old now. And I've never, you know, they'll do it, right? You plant a seed, it'll grow. My gosh, they start out like that. It takes forever. I just go pay a buck and a half and buy them this big and then plant them. But I'm growing up. I actually have some I planted for this winter, and they're like this big now. And I'm hoping they get big enough to transplant before it's too late. But it takes time. You know what? Do you judge yourself that you're not growing fast enough? That you're not having enough patience, that you know what? That man who was building that cathedral, that old man, he knew when he was mixing cement, he was connecting with God. He was building a cathedral. Your part may be the most important part. And you know, it's interesting when you read a lot of Paul's stuff, connection happens every time we try. It's not up to you. You ain't that big and you ain't that bad and you ain't that smart. It's up to God. This is His plan. You know what? I can't imagine being Jesus and waiting till I was 30 to take on the most important role in the history of the human race. Knowing the whole time it was me. I had it in me. He didn't even run for city council. He wasn't an elite in any shape, form, or fashion. The Bible says there was nothing about him that would attract humans to him. But he knew by faith. So he just kept connecting, kept connecting, kept connecting, kept connecting. And then one day, everything changed. And then things got worse because he ended up dying on a cross. But he knew even then. Oh yeah, I'm 3 days from now, you guys will see it. And I'm going to change the world.
God's looking for someone today that will lay down their lives as a living sacrifice, just like Jesus. And when you do, I want you to leave here today. Just one simple decision. You know what? I'm going to try. I believe, because it's all by faith, I believe that trying to connect with Jesus is everything. Then take the pressure off of you and put the pressure on your daddy. That's all you got to do. Take the pressure off of you and put the pressure on your daddy and watch your stress level go. Yeah, but I'm not a good father. I'm not doing good as a husband, a dad. I'm not doing good at work. I've got all these bills. I've got all this. Okay, relax. Take a deep breath. Okay, so I've got a couple testimonies I want to do. Because I saw this happen last weekend. Some of you were there. So, Kay, could you and your friends come up here? Do you have friends? Yes, she does. You know, the ladies had a retreat last weekend. And they were a perfect example of living this out. So, okay, cool. Give them a hand. They need like some encouragement. You guys do something. Come on, do it. Preach, 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 preach.
So we just had our ladies fall fling. And
your ladies fall fling?
Fall fling. We call it fall fling. We have a spring fling, but it's like our fall retreat.
Yeah.
So and it came up with the name to begin with because we were supposed to have a fling with God. So anyway.
Yeah.
Some of you may know this retreat looked a little different. We had been planning for, I don't know, 2 years, just trying to have a retreat in the spring, and then we'd have to cancel that, and then we moved to the fall. And anyway, so we got to have it this year. And so my team, we usually begin praying, what's our theme going to be, what's the focus, and so we start working on the teachings, and who's going to teach them, and a schedule. You know, you have to have a schedule, what time everything's going to be throughout the day. But our team, as we prayed this time, we just really felt the Lord say, your agenda is no agenda. And I know that was being questioned because I was questioning. I was like, I know this doesn't sound right. And even my team members are like, we're all hearing the same thing. We're not supposed to do any kind of teachings or anything. And so when we made the announcement, I even announced that we'll worship together. We'll have times of worship. And I did that because I thought that was the thing to do because it seemed spiritual. And God, we had to have something in there. But dang it, God said, no, I told you nothing. So, and I still, and my team even, they told me, they're like, Miss Kay, this is not what we're supposed to do. This is what we believe the women need and what they're wanting. And I'm like, okay. I mean, because I was totally questioning it. But I tell you what, the stress of planning when you do plan it, but then I was adding stress onto myself because I'm like, this doesn't seem right. This doesn't seem that we're supposed to do it this way. But when God showed me exactly that it was not supposed to be any certain way, then I was able to relax, even myself. I didn't have to try to come up with all these things and say, well, this is how we're going to do it. And it was really, really was amazing when that stress was off of me and off of my team and just all of that planning and some of the outcome. That's what these ladies are going to share, just what happened, and that ties into why God wanted it to be like it was.
Yeah, cool.
I will say it was real good to see y'all.
What's your name, young lady?
Oh, my name is Sarah Bunker.
Oh, Sarah Bunker.
It was real good to see my women's ministry friends not stressed out for a whole weekend. That was so nice to see them relax. So I felt like last weekend, we spent a lot of time just being the church to each other instead of having a bunch of church.
Yeah,
and that
good.
Was just so, it was so relaxing. I read a book on the porch. I learned a couple things about myself. I'm real bad at ping pong. And if I get nervous in a canoe, I'll stop being useful and just laugh hysterically. So don't take me canoeing with
Amen.
You.
Amen.
So anyway, it was good. Like, the Lord was present. There was one moment where we were up in the chapel and we were like, the acoustics are really good in here. So we just started singing. And so for a few minutes we had worship, but it wasn't like this big, like, it, you know, drummed up fancy thing. We just all sang and worshiped for a little bit, and then we went down and played cards. And so it was good, and the Lord was present in every conversation, and it was so relaxing.
Amen. Cool.
My name is Kelly Weatherly, and I actually asked Sarah to go first because I have a whole note page in my phone, and I was like, if nothing else, this was good for me to see what all the Lord did. And it goes perfectly with what Pastor Allen was talking about with connecting with God. I just felt like every single one of my senses was engaged and connected with God last weekend, just from the beautiful view in his creation, getting to see a zebra up close and actually see what the stripes look like, sunsets, the lake, just seeing new friendships develop, hearing laughter, hearing splashing in the water, just every one of my senses was engaged with the Lord. And you know, the acoustics and the worship, the spontaneous worship that Sarah talked about in the chapel. The second night we were up thinking we were going to see the sunset from the chapel area, which we missed, but God was totally there because the owners, they're new owners, and they are overjoyed because they know the Lord has given them this, but they're also overwhelmed because they went from having a dog and a cat to having like 70 different, you know, goats, sheep, yeah, all that. So they had come up to show their friends the view, and we started talking, and we just got to pray for them. Like, it wasn't planned. We hadn't all planned to be there at the same time. We just got to pray for them. So it just, we ebbed and flowed, and just, you know, sitting on the porch drinking coffee, looking at the fog rise off the river. I did that with Jennifer Hughes. You know, we haven't spent a lot of time together. Just so many new friendships, old friendships. It was just amazing.
Cool. Perfect. You can put that up. I thought Kay wanted to preach some more. Okay, so you choose. Would you rather be like Stephanie trying to walk on water? I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. Then you relax when you get across. Or would you rather be like Jesus and just walk on water? No stress. He wasn't even trying not to sink. The power comes from trying to connect with him. And now it's up to him. Your strength comes with him. I love what Mary said, and I know this is an English translation of what she spoke in Hebrew, but she said, "For nothing is impossible with God." How come when we read that, we put it into a context where it just adds more pressure? I've got to do great things. Listen, it doesn't take a lot for a 2-year-old to reach up and grab somebody's finger. That's what you got to do. And when you do that with God, it becomes as powerful inside of you as it was inside of the Virgin Mary. And it's beautiful. Jesus is wanting to dance with you. He's wanting to live life with you. And the truth is, he's already here. That day, 2,000 years ago, Jesus rose from the dead so that he could live in us. So guys, I just want you to be relaxed with him. With him. You know what? You'll accomplish more with him than you have ever dreamed on your own. Give it a shot. Now listen, I just know stress is not faith. And a lot of us live our whole lives stressed out. It's time to relax. It's time to, the truth, this is the truth right here. With God, I am enough. And it's all because of him. You can chill out trying to fix everything, because that's not faith. This is faith, right? So today, why don't you change? Change your mind. Change the way you think. Recognize areas in your life where you've been stressing out and where you've been struggling and forcing yourself, and let those things go and do this.
And you'll see, you know, you'll see the water split. You'll see the life of God rise up around you in people that you care about. And in your own heart, you'll be at rest. You'll be at peace with Him. What a great way to live, huh? Who ever dreamed God wanted us to not stress out? I've been stressed my whole life trying to not be stressed. Just more pressure. Don't choose to trust Him. When you do that, you'll see your life begin to change. So, Lisa, you can come on up. With God, I am enough. Whew. Let's all stand up. I just want you to relax, not fall asleep. Actually, I don't care if you fall asleep. When I've been praying for people, some of the hardest, most difficult times of their lives, in my office, and we're praying, and the Holy Spirit comes inside of them, they start yawning. And then I'm looking, and they're like, they have their eyes. You know that thing where you're asleep, but your eyes aren't closed? Your eyes, you think you're awake, but your eyes are closed. They start doing that thing. And you know what? I just get quiet, because His presence is what heals people. And sometimes His presence comes as the beautiful sleep. Comes as rest. It comes as peace. And that's what transforms us, is His presence. Learn to recognize His presence. Discern when you're at rest and when you're stressed. And you'll find that narrow path that God's talking about. And we used to think that narrow path was a lot of hard work. It's actually getting rid of the hard work and living by faith. Jesus is calling you home. Not to a job site. He's calling you home, where you can relax, where you can rest, where you can be at peace. Now, I didn't ask Kay who was one of the people that questioned her decision. I might have been one of those people. I might have been like, you're going to what? What about the Bible studies? What about praying for people? What about? I decided to trust God. And He came. Jesus wants to come for you today. So this morning, we'll have a ministry team. Harvey, you got a ministry team? Some of you may have, your body may need to be at rest. Did you see how many of those things that are a symptom to a doctor that you have stress in your life are physical? Stomach issues, muscle issues, acne issues, insomnia, indigido, or whatever that word was. Oh, I just remembered the word. Ricardo will help. Ricardo, you and Mary will help. They'll help you with that part, if you have that. It's all stress. Stress causes heart problems. Cancer, it causes all kinds of problems. So this morning, if you need help, these guys want to pray with you. And they want to help you find where you're stressing and help you give it to Him. And when you do that, you're grabbing His hand and you can let it go. Amen? So, Father, I just thank You for today. I thank You that the ladies last week, that Kay wasn't a complete idiot, that You showed up against my better judgment. And, God, I just thank You that You've never changed. And we want to live the way Jesus lived, Father. So, Lord, I just thank You for exposing every area in our lives where we're stressed out, where we're not trusting You, and we're taking the burden on our own selves. So, God, we just welcome Your rest. We welcome Your peace. We just thank You, King. So, thank you for being here today. These guys would love to pray with you. Pray for each other. You all are carriers of the very life of God. Amen. So, God bless you guys. Y'all have a good week.